KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Our in-depth guest today is Portland-based writer, teacher, and radio host, Judith Arcana. Judith's published work includes poems, stories, essays, and books. She's a longtime teacher of literature, writing, and women's studies, and she volunteered as a Jane, a member of the Chicago Underground Service that helped more than 11,000 women get safe, illegal abortions before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Roe v. Wade in January 1973. Judith also hosts the monthly KBOO show Poetry and Everything, which airs the fourth Monday of the month at 10 p.m. Judith, thanks for coming into KBOO on the second Monday of the month.
Thanks for inviting me.
Judith, it's clear from the intro you have a very long, productive career as writer, teacher, activist. I'd like to focus on one of your books that combines all those roles. It's called Grace Paley's Life Stories, A Literary Biography. In a previous KBOO interview, we talked briefly about that book. You mentioned it got its start shortly after you entered grad school in 1984. You said you decided to write a biography, specifically about a woman you admire and could learn from. Why Grace Paley?
Well, I had read all of her stories up to that point. I read pretty much everything that was out up to, that she had done up to that point. And I loved the voice on the page, which was the voice in my head, even though I'd never actually heard her real voice at that time. I saw the mastery of the skill of writing. This was clearly an astonishingly skilled writer. And also a lot of her ideas and attitudes and some of her background were things that had a lot of personal appeal for me. I sometimes still say even though she's dead now, she was about 20 years older than me. So she was a generation up, and I thought, okay, there's a lot of learning here. And so she was at the top of my short list, I like to say.
And she died in 2007,
yes, you mentioned the listeners. August of 2007, yes.
Now, the book's a result of your intensive research into Grace's work and life, and also several very long conversations you recorded with Grace over a period of time beginning in 1985 and some of her family members. How did you approach her about cooperating on the book with you?
I first met her in early November of 84. I went deliberately to this particular symposium near Chicago because I heard she was going to be there, and I thought, okay, I'll meet her, I'll listen to her, now I'll know. It'll be her in person. And she was quite wonderful. And so I got in line with all the other people who wanted to talk to her afterwards, and I told her I wanted to write about her. And I think I told you this before. I can't remember now, but she said, "Oh, that's nice, honey."
She didn't take you too seriously.
She did not take me seriously. But then I made deep eye contact and said, "I really mean it. I want to write a book about you. I am a writer." And then she got serious and she gave me her mailing address. And then I started to write to her. I sent her copies of my first two books so that she would know I was literate and that I could.
You're bona fides.
Right, that I was the real thing. And at first, she was really not going to do it. But I, and of course, I'll never know exactly what tipped it. But at some point, she called me up and said, "All right, let's do it."
You told that great story about coming home and
finding the voice
on your answering machine. Isn't that just amazing?
It is incredible.
Yeah, my answering machine is mostly spam calls. I never get anything from Grace Paley.
Well, this was a while ago.
Yeah. I mentioned you had several conversations with her, some very long ones.
Oh, and, yes.
She so graciously invited you into her home and life. What were those conversations like? What was it like talking with her? Were you put off a little at first, this great writer?
I was never put off because she was such a normal human.
Uh-huh.
She was so completely comfortable for me. Once she decided to do it and said, I said this the last time we were talking on air, I said, "Do you have any ideas of where I might stay that's near where you live?" And she said, "What do you mean? You'll stay with me." And I thought, okay, this is really happening, you know? And so there I was in her apartment where she'd lived for many, 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 many years in the Village in New York. And over the time that I knew her, 20 plus a few, she also began to spend a lot of time in Vermont. So sometimes when I visited, I would be with her in Vermont. once or maybe twice she came to Chicago. She had a gig or something, and so we got to hang out on my turf as well in those days. And
she was very candid with you, so it wasn't like she was giving you a story or anything.
No, no, I never felt that she was either evading or... It never entered my mind that she was prevaricating. And if she didn't want to talk about something, she would have told me. I knew that by the time I had been with her for several hours the first occasion. She was right out there. And also, we had interests in common. I wanted to know, how did you do this? Why did you do this? Who were you with? And we talked about the ending of her first marriage, and we talked about the raising of her children, completely intimate stuff and overtly political stuff, and she was game. And I had an old-style tape recorder on almost all the time, and that was completely fine with her.
I know there's one point in the book where you asked her, how does she get all of this done? You can't do everything. And she said, why can't you do everything?
Yes.
That's
yes,
funny.
It was.
It seems that she did.
I thought, oh, well, okay, she may be a role model, but I'm probably not going to be able to, quote-unquote, do everything. But she did.
Now, the book is titled Grace Paley's Life Stories, a literary biography. What do you mean by a literary biography?
Well, I'll tell you what I mean. What I mean is that the original publisher wanted that as the subtitle. And it had never entered my mind to use that phrase. And I talked to Grace about it, and she wasn't any more thrilled with it than I was. But it was clear that there was really nothing wrong with it, and it wasn't a lie. It was just so academic and kind of heavy-handed, you know?
I thought it was descriptive, though. That's what I was trying to get at with the format of the book.
And then I realized, and actually talked with her about this, that it was accurate in the very sense that you're alluding to. After all, I was interested in her as a writer. And although I was also very interested in her as an activist, I was exceptionally interested in the way those two things came together, were together in her life. So the book turns out to be a story of how her politics, her way of being in the world, and her extensive activism inform her work as a writer, as well as much else.
Well, one thing you do, I think, extremely successfully in the book is combine this story, this narrative of Grace's life and her writing and her activism, her different roles, her family roles, along with excerpts from her published work. How did you stumble on that or come up with that? That, I mean, just a perfect format for her.
Well, thanks. I don't even know how to answer it in terms of, like, how did I? It just seems like...
It's not common in biographies of writers to do extensively.
I guess not. I have actually talked to other biographers over the years, and I'm not interested in writing any more biographies, so it's not like I'm studying it, but some really wonderful biography writers and I have had conversations, and so I know you're right. But it just seemed so natural, so appropriate. It's one thing for me to quote her. It's another thing for me to say something about her, and it's yet another thing, a thing of value, for me to quote what she has written, primarily fiction in this book, but also occasionally a line from a poem or an essay, so that my reader, I hope, can hear her voice on the page as well as my voice on the page.
Yeah, one interesting thing that you quote her in the book as saying she doesn't really see that big a line, if any at all, between fiction and nonfiction. She mentioned a memoir that she said seemed very fictionalized.
Yeah.
And her work is fiction, but there's a lot of incidents from her life that she kind of plays on in the books.
Yes, and in that particular set of remarks, she says this, to me, wonderful thing. She says fiction, nonfiction, and then she talks about how it's convenient for booksellers, it's convenient for librarians, they can make shelves with particular categories. But then she says, but it's story, it's all story. And that's what Grace was about as a writer, was telling stories, making up stories, using as her raw material real life, of course. Talk about a person embedded in the life of her time, that would be Grace. And then going beyond that into making art out of the real stuff.
And she happened to have a character. You mentioned that this character recurs in at least 13 of the 45 collected stories, Faith Darwin Asbury,
yes,
which seems to be Grace's doppelganger. So your particular way of combining life and her fiction and her other writing work especially well with Grace Paley.
Well, I read the stories over and over while I was working on the book, which was not difficult because they're wonderful. And I saw, I believe that that was what was happening. That's my my theory presented in the book. And so it was there. It was there for the taking.
It's very well supported, the theory, because you go into her grandparents, her parents, her siblings, her kids,
yeah,
and you can find kind of reflections of those people in characters in the book.
I think so. At the same time, and for sure, if Grace were here, she would say this, they are not exactly who those people were.
I have my next question exactly about that.
Okay.
In the book's introduction, you ask Grace if her stories are autobiographical.
Uh-huh.
And she replies, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I wrote my life into the stories. Don't you see the difference? So, Judith, what do you see as the difference?
Well, what I see is this method, this process, that the raw material is the life and is literally inside of her, the mind, the spirit, the writing hand, because she certainly, I found I will use the term manuscripts, stuff written in pencil on little scraps of paper in her office, and she was writing out of, she was, as we all are, a container of all that her life had put in, and she, by choice, was taking it out and using it as if it were the ingredients of a recipe that she was concocting to make something else out of it.
You had one line I really liked in the book, among others.
It wasn't more just than one.
More than one. You wrote a writing biography. I thought about what it means to make up our lives, to invent ourselves through the years. So it seems that was a little bit of what Grace Paley was up to in her fiction.
I think so. And I also really do think that. I was just writing something like this in the last several days because I'm working on a preface for the new edition. And I guess I got to say, I believe that. That's what we are doing. Raw material comes in, sometimes comes at us, and we take it in and we make up our lives out of all of that stuff that comes into us.
Which brings me to the crowdfunding campaign. You mentioned, again, this was published in 1993 by the University of Illinois Press.
Right.
There's a crowdfunding campaign, a very successful one that's still going on, will be going on until Friday, to get the book reprinted.
Yes.
It's now sadly out of print, but hopefully not for long now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the Kickstarter campaign and why you think it's a good time to get it back in print and more widely available?
The publishers, it's the publisher's idea. The publisher is Eberhard Press here in Portland, Oregon. Folks, no matter where you're listening from, that's where the publisher is. So once Charles Overbeck, who is the publisher at Eberhard Press, and I decided to do this, we've talked extensively, both in the negotiating and discussing, and now since we've begun, about how this could happen. It's a very small press, and so outside cash is necessary, and hence the Kickstarter campaign. And Charles has experience with that. I had never played that game before. I believe the correct line is, this is my first rodeo. perhaps it will even be my last.
I mentioned it's a very successful one. You've already met your original goal.
We have met the original goal.
And now there's
goal.
A stretch goal.
And now there's a stretch goal. And the stretch goal is as much as we can possibly convince people to send. And what's really amazing to me is not only did folks appear very quickly so that we got to our original goal, but they are still sending some money because they love Grace and they want the book. They want the book to exist, maybe as much as Charles and I do, which is pretty wonderful, you know.
Can you tell where listeners can find out more about the book and maybe contribute to the Kickstarter campaign? They have, as I mentioned, till 11 p.m. on Friday.
This right? coming Friday, the 12th, 11 p.m. Nicely done. Yes, sir. That's the end. However, people can, you can either do the Kickstarter thing, which is great.
And that's on Kickstarter.com.
Go to Kickstarter online and ask for Grace Paley, and it'll pop, you know, this campaign will pop up. And also, folks can send checks. And there are people, I have learned, this is one of the things I've learned in the last couple of weeks, who don't want to do the online Kickstarter fundraising.
Because your credit card it's going to be hacked.
people seem to think that. And you know what? It has happened to people in the world.
Way too often.
Yeah, apparently so. Anyway, so folks who want to send checks can send directly to Eberhard Press and check out their, I have not memorized the address, check out their location right here in Portland and
just
do
a
that.
Few blocks from Cable. I think it's
That's
around
right.
7th and Morrison, something
yes,
like
exactly.
that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So we have about a minute or so left here. I wanted to get to one more question. You quote Grace in the book's preface and all the stuff about women's reproductive rights. That's absolutely key. I mean, how can a woman think that their attack on our bodies is not a real attack? I want to transition from Grace Paley's life to your longtime activism in support of women's rights, going back to the Janes in Chicago in the early 70s. Those rights seem to be under attack now, especially with the recent confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court.
Yes, and of course, Grace said that a long time ago, but you are absolutely right. It is completely apt now, and actually has been for quite a while. The anti-abortion movement in this country has been wildly successful for quite a while. The Kavanaugh appointment is the most outrageous and visible and perhaps even insane manifestation, because his representation of self in the public eye, even aside from concerns about abortion or contraception, reproductive justice, is of a really dreadful person. But anyway, yes.
An attempted rapist, I would say.
Yeah, that too.
So, I mean, it's pretty dreadful.
He's clearly not someone we want on the court, and I'm sure Grace would be saying very similar things were she here in the studio with us today.
But probably not words approved by the FCC. Well, Judith, thanks very much for coming into KABU again on this second Monday, not your regular Monday of the month.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
We've been talking with Judith Arcana, Portland-based writer, teacher, and radio host, about her book, Grace Paley's Life Stories, a Literary Biography. If you'd like to find out more about the book and the crowdfunding campaign to reprint it, you still have time. Go to Kickstarter.com and search for Grace Paley, Grace Paley's Life Stories. It's going to come up. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.